This is the Generation Example Podcast.
Here we go. What is God's will for you? Right? And so the number eight topic, or the number nine most requested topic, is God's will. What is God's will for your life? Right? So now, in order to answer this topic like we've done every week, I have two phenomenal guests that are going to come up, and both of them are actually executive pastors here at Abundant Life. So if you guys will give a huge GX welcome to a few of our very own pastors, Pastor Tilden and Pastor Eric, come on up. Nice. All right. They get the joy of trying to figure out what's God's will for your life. So, you guys, what I'd ask, if each of you could just introduce yourself real quick. Now, wait, here we go. Hold on, before we get here. I'm missing a step. Here, what I want you guys to do, here it is, God's will. Here is the text number, right? And what I want you guys is, I want you to begin to think about questions, right, that you have about how do we figure out God's will? How do I figure out what God wants me to do? What are these questions you have? Now, this was a really largely requested topic. So I want to encourage you guys, if you have any question about how to figure out, you know, how do we know what God wants us to do, I want you to go ahead and text that in right now. And remember, I just want to give this like the overview that we're not trying to figure out, you know, what problems you have. This is a safe line. This is totally anonymous. So all your questions will be safe. We don't know who's texting these questions in. But go ahead, text your question to this number up here. Can you guys see it? 650-796-8015, and we're going to do our best to answer those questions. So I'm going to go ahead and ask each of you if you can just share real quick who you are. We know who you are, but just you know, a few minutes about who you are, and then we'll get into the questions. So,
all right, my name is Eric Stevenson. I'm one of the pastors here at Abundant Life, and I'm excited to hear that all of you are exploring the question of God's will for your life. I think it's an exciting topic. And I look forward to an opportunity to share with you.
Awesome. My name is Tilden Fang, and for many years I led the young adult ministry for folks that are in their 20s and early 30s, and we met in this room, so this is kind of a flashback for me. I'm having chills, but I'm really excited to be here. I've been on staff with Abundant Life since 2005. I handle most of the kind of dirty administration stuff, but it's always exciting to be able to have an opportunity to be in ministry, and just very excited to be here today.
Awesome, awesome. You can go ahead and hold on to that, right, and then just pass it back and forth. So we're going to get right into this, I believe. Charles, how are we doing back there? So go ahead, and we'll put the first question up there, and we'll just jump right in and see how this works. Question number one. When do you know when it's God's will versus your own will? Wow, great question.
Yeah, that is a great question. And I think, well, first of all, the way that we can know clearly what God's will is through his word. The Bible is God's expressed will for our lives, and that's why it's important for us, especially as young people, to develop a hunger for the scriptures. And because it's from God's word that we understand what his will is. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, God's ways are not our ways, and neither are our thoughts his thoughts. And so when we're young in faith, it's sort of hard to distinguish between what God's will is versus what our own will is. But as we grow in faith and as we understand God's word more and more and we apply it in our lives in obedience, then we can begin to discern what when God is speaking to us and what God's will is for a particular decision versus what our own will is. And that's, again, something that happens as we grow in fellowship with the Lord.
Yeah, I'd also say that one of the ways that I think about this is maybe to distinguish between like a general will, like God has like a general will that is expressed through scripture, is constant through all time, it comes out of like who God is and who he's made us to be. And then You know, I think there's the area of kind of God's specific will for us. Like, what does God want me to do when I'm facing a decision about kind of a particular issue? And so I think for me, as I've gone through life, it's always helpful for me to be able to acknowledge that both of those kind of God's general will and God's specific will exist, and that they are never in conflict. And so, you know, I think the scripture is especially helpful for figuring out kind of what God's general will is. Okay, so you have passages like Micah 6:8, where it talks about, you know, he's shown you, O people, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. So in just about any situation for all people, no matter what you're facing, you kind of know, like, that's God's general will for people who are following him, who are representing him. That's his general guidance that's always going to apply. You know, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness is always going to apply. And that those come right out of scripture. Those are always things that we can return to try to figure out, you know, how might God be guiding me or leading me in a particular situation. But then there are other kind of specific situations that we get in that scripture may not speak so directly about, you know. So, you know, should I go to college? Which college should I go to? Or should I take this class? Or should I date this person? Well, you know, you're not going to be able to flip to a specific verse and have it say, like, yes or no. I think it's important to recognize, like, there is a general will that when you're wrestling with kind of specific issues, the specific answer that God gives you is not going to contradict the general will that you see in Scripture. I imagine that there may be some other questions. So one of the things I think just kind of, you know, I think we all wrestle with, you know, like when we hit specific decisions, how do we know what God is saying to us? How do we receive God's guidance for those specific decisions that we can't just flip to a verse and say, oh, this is God's answer for me? And I guess just really briefly, I would say you always want to check with your community. And community, I think, is very broad. I think community is friends that you know that are also kind of pursuing God and that you trust. It's kind of pastors that you know have your best interests at heart. It could be, you know, kind of family, parents, if you know that they genuinely want the best for you. But it's basically the people, kind of God's family around you that have your best interests in mind, can speak into your life. They can give some input. I think the second thing is kind of generally under the Holy Spirit. So I think God speaks to us directly about the specific situations in our lives. And I think that's, you know, that's also, it can be a broad category. I mean, it can be kind of specific verses that God makes clear to us. I think one of the things that God makes clear is that the Spirit is responsible for showing us the thoughts and attitudes of our heart, like our motivations. And that's one of the things that the Spirit is really good at uncovering. So when we go to, like, how do you know if it's God's will or your will? One of the things that the Spirit does is it shows you, oh, this is actually all about me. It's really all what I want. It has nothing to do with God. And I want it because it's good. You know, it's going to make me feel good. It's going to get me something that I want. And so that's the kind of thing that the Spirit speaks to us about, and it makes clear to us. So I think when we're open to the Spirit speaking, that's kind of how the Spirit speaks to us. And then the third thing, I think, is our circumstances. So, you know, as we look at kind of our broad circumstances, what's going on in our lives? Who has God made us to be? What kinds of opportunities has God given us? That's kind of another way that we can have a sense for what God's will is. And these three areas all work together. They never contradict God's general will. They never contradict Scripture. And so you kind of process with community, Holy Spirit, circumstances and experience. You process them all in the context of God's will, and you kind of bring it before God in prayer. And I think that's kind of been the biggest thing for me in trying to figure out, like, is this God's will for my life, or is this, like, just what I want to do, and I'm just kind of trying to go my own way.
Great.
Great. You can hold on to that. Just want to remind you guys, as we're talking and as Pastor Tilden and Pastor Eric bring stuff up, if you have questions, continue to text them back there. And the text line is open. All right, Charles, next question. Hit me back. What does it mean to say it's God's will? What does it mean to say that something is God's will?
I think what it means when we say it's God's will is that it's the sovereign will or leading of God.
What, Pastor, can you explain sovereign, that term sovereign?
So the sovereignty of God is simply the control, the fact that God is in control of everything that happens in the universe and everything that happens in our lives. It may not seem like it, but God is in control of the circumstances in our lives, where we live. When we were born, he decided whether we were male, female, black, white, etc. And so that's God's sovereignty. And I think when we talk about God's will, we can have assurance, especially as we seek to follow the Lord, that he will lead us into the center of his will. And that's comforting for us because, again, oftentimes when we're young in our faith, we don't necessarily know what God's will is. But if our hearts are pure before him and we're seeking to grow in fellowship with him, then he will work in our lives, sort of behind the scenes in our lives, to lead us into his will for us. And we may not recognize it until many years from now that God was certainly at work in this season in my life to accomplish his will.
Yeah, I guess I'm very practically for me, I just kind of think this is God's will is what kind of God wants to do through my life. I think one of the questions I ask myself a lot is, like, how do I not waste my life? How do I make sure I do with my life what God has made me for, his plan and purpose? And I think things that move in that direction are really how I understand God's will.
Yeah, thanks. All right, Charles, let's go. Question number three. What do we got up there? Is something you're good at a sign of the destiny God wants you to follow? That's a great question. What do you guys think about that?
I would say maybe. and I think a lot of it to me, I guess, comes down to the motivations of the heart. I think, you know, for me, if there's a special gift or a talent or like a special resource that you like, that's definitely something that is designed to be worked out in the context of God's will. So that's not something that's there by accident. It's, you know, everything that we have is, you know, whether it's part of who we are, a gift, a talent, a resource, whatever, everything that we have is something that's designed for us to use to serve God, to bless other people with. It's part of how God uses us. And so I guess in this area, this kind of falls to me under the kind of the category of a circumstance. Like, it's something that is something that's real in my life. It's part of, you know, what's true about you or about me, that it is different than what is true about maybe other people. And so I have to work it out as I'm seeking, you know, what is God's will for my life. Now, I think part of the challenge is, you know, a lot of us may have gifts or talents or strengths in multiple different areas. You know, we may have to choose what areas to invest in or what it looks like to pursue a particular path. And so I think there's still a lot of wrestling in this area as we figure out, I feel like I'm good at this. What does that mean for my life? What does it mean with what I do? And I'd say that's something that we work out along the way. I think we pursue it. We try to figure out, like, well, how does this fit in God's will in my life? And I think it's part of the data that we wrestle with. So that's a good question. So that's my wife. And she asked me hard. That's my wife, Mimi. I think she asked direct questions because she was going to text in some sneaky questions. But then she realized she couldn't do that. When I was when I was in high school, I was really good at math and science, and I always thought that that was the direction that I was going to go. And I actually studied engineering in college. That was an area that I pursued. I think that was something that I always felt like I was good at, and I was always wrestling with, what does this mean for how God is going to use my life? And ultimately, as I was going through my 20s, I had to decide how that fit in with how I felt like God was calling me and what his will was for my life. And so I'm a pastor now. I don't do a lot of straight engineering. I haven't done any math in a really long time. But I can also see that there was nothing that was wasted in, through high school or through college or, in some of the jobs that I had after college. So I think as we try to, as we steward what, kind of gifts and talents God has given us, and we try to figure out how it all works together, there's nothing in that process that is wasted. God somehow uses all of that in the way that, we serve him, the opportunities that we have. So I guess I'd say that that's kind of how I've seen it work out in my life.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, the things that we're good at. And the reality is that all of us are good at something, whether we know it or not. I'm sure some of us are great at singing or great at math or science like Pastor Tilden. And what we want to do in this stage in our life is simply to commit all of the things that we're good at to the Lord and say, Lord, I simply want to be available to you to take my voice or my intellect or my physical talent, whatever it might be, and present it to the Lord and then let him lead you into how he wants to use that strength, that talent that you have, that gift that you have to glorify him. You look at someone like Tim Tebow, and I remember seeing a clip of the Indianapolis, what was the first team that he played for? The Broncos. The Broncos, they were practicing, and there was a microphone nearby, and as Tebow was throwing the ball, just warming up, he's singing praises to the Lord. He's singing songs of worship and things like that. And I was shocked that I don't think he knew that there was a microphone nearby. They just sort of scanned the field and they were showing the different players practicing. And so his physical talent for football is the stage from which he can glorify God. And so not only did he do it in that context, but I'm sure in the locker room, on the sidelines, he's being a source of encouragement for the players. Perhaps he's sharing scripture with them, singing God's praises. And all of these are ways in which he will take our talent and our skill and place us where he wants us to be so that we can ultimately bring him glory.
Great. Charles, how many questions do we got left? A lot. Okay, so we got limited time, so we're going to try to kind of go through these. So next question, Charles, hit me back. Does God's will change over time for each person, or is it the same your whole life? Does God's will change? And maybe we'll just choose one of you guys can answer, and then we'll kind of go on to the next one. You guys can pick who wants to answer.
From my understanding of Scripture, God's will is the same for us. He certainly makes that clear through his word, but also in our lives. I think, but how it might look to us, it may seem like it changes over time. For example, I'm now in ministry, and I didn't know it, but years ago when I came through high school and went into college, I didn't know that it was God's will for me to start my career in business. And I worked in business for a few years, and then I had a burning passion for politics. And so I was led into a position in politics. And I worked in that area for a while, and then eventually in city government, not knowing exactly what I wanted to do with my life. So it looked like God's will was different for me, but I've come to realize that over time, he had me in these positions preparing me for what I'm doing now. And so it may look different to us as we're going through our lives, but ultimately I think God's will is the same for us because, you know, he knows what he wants to get out of our lives. And but, you know, it's going to take, you know, its own shape as we move throughout our lives.
Good answer. All right, Charles, next question. What if you never find out God's will for your life?
So I would just say that that's impossible. I think in the sense that if, I mean, God isn't trying to frustrate us, right? He isn't trying to like, to kind of, you know, kind of pop in and pop out and, you know, see if we, kind of can get it or, you know, I think God, you know, God is like, a good father, who is constantly wanting for us, to be able to, grow closer to him and to live life with him. And, he wants us to fulfill the plan and purpose that he has for our life. And so I think in that sense, if we're pursuing him and we're trying the best that we can to grow our relationship with him, you know, we're trying the best that we can to please him and just kind of, you know, to walk with him, grow with him, respond to his general will, you know, like treat other people right, be open to ministry, care for people the way that he wants us to care for them. I think all of those things are the process that we, you know, we live out God's will. And then, you know, so when we have specific decisions that come up and we're asking him for guidance and we're trying to go one way or another, that's kind of how the whole process plays out. And so I guess, you know, I would never think that there's kind of one magical path and somehow if we miss it, like our lives are ruined and they're, you know, worthless or, you know, we just don't know. I think, you know, we're pursuing God and then we're trusting God that he'll work things out. And so, I mean, I guess one of the things that I would share, is I agree with Pastor Eric, you know, like God knows what he's doing with our lives. And so he has a plan and purpose, but we really, like, you know, scripture says, like, we see through a glass darkly a lot in our lives. So we make a lot of mistakes in trying to, you know, in trying to please God and kind of figure out what the next step is. And that's totally okay. I mean, because God's got it in control. He kind of just calls us to do the best that we can to please him. And so there was one situation in my life where I was trying to decide whether to take this job. And I really didn't want to take it, but I felt like the right thing to do was to take it. I was, like, right out of college, and I felt like God maybe wanted me to move up to San Francisco, and so there was this job that was there. I was like, I really don't want to do it. I don't want to say yes, but I feel like God is calling me to say yes. So I had a very short window of time to decide, and finally I was just like, okay, I'm just going to call them and say that I'll take the job. And when I called them, they were like, oh, well, we know we offered the job to you, but we actually just gave it to someone else. And you know, like I should have been maybe mad. It's like, how can you do that? But I actually just felt this huge wave of relief washing over me, you know, like, whew. And then I realized, you know, like some of our decision-making process can be really messed up, but God still works with our lives and he's got it under control, you know? And I think especially like, you know, I mean, you guys are in a really great place because especially when you're going through your teens and your 20s, there aren't a whole lot of like kind of big decisions that you can make that are really like in a sense final. You know, like you decide to put off going to college and you really should have gone to college. Well, you can remake that decision. You decide to go to one place because you feel like God is calling you there and it turns out horribly. Well, you can kind of switch that around, you know? So you can really practice and kind of take a lot of risks in figuring out where is God leading me and really, you know, kind of practice that. You know, it's only when you make kind of lifelong decisions, like who you marry, and, you know, I mean, stuff like that, where it's like, you know, having kids, that kind of stuff is a lot harder to kind of change. I mean, those are some lifelong responsibilities that you get into. So, you know, in my mind, in the stage of life that God has given you, if there's freedom to take risks, to follow God, you know, God will never lead you down a dead end and leave you there. I think, you know, he'll always work things out. Even if we make bad decisions, if we're trying to pursue God, he'll work it out.
Great. Good answer. Last question. We have time for one more last question, and then we'll dismiss the panel guests. Charles, if God is sovereign, why does he allow tragedy? Oh, that had to be the last question, didn't it? It's like the hardest question in the world to answer. If God is sovereign, why does he allow tragedy to happen? This is a great question, and this is a question that is asked all throughout the world. This is a question that hinders a lot of people from coming to faith, and so this is a great question to end on. And so which one of you would love to handle that question? There we go.
I'll share briefly, and then Pastor Tilden can also respond. I think, first of all, we live in an evil world. You know that from Genesis in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered the world, and we've been in a fallen world ever since. But God allows tragedy to take place in our lives. And in many ways, we simply don't know why necessarily. But what we can take comfort in is in the fact that because we know Christ, that we have a promise that if there's anything that he allows into our lives, any form of tragedy, no matter how bad it is, that God ultimately has a purpose in it. And he can, Romans 8:28, he can take it and work it together for our good. And so that gives us a tremendous amount of comfort that God, in his sovereignty, in the reality that he's in control of my life, he will not allow any tragedy in my life that I'm not ready to handle. There's another scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, that talks about the fact that he will not allow anything to happen to us beyond what we can bear. And so there's things that will happen to you in the future, but you're not ready for them now. The things that he allows into your life now are because you're ready for them. And even though they seem tragic to us on the surface, God can work it together for our good. And ultimately, it can bless us. It can strengthen our faith. And that's where we can take comfort in the tragedy that happens.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add on to that is that I think tragedy, tragedy shows us that this world is not our home. You know, when we face things like death or injustice, abuse, suffering, I think that's part of us just realizing we were never designed to make a permanent home here. And those are the exact reasons why God came into this world. It's why he gives us his Holy Spirit to not only redeem our lives in the midst of the brokenness of this world, but he also is able to heal us and empower us to be able to fight against those things. I think that's part of who he's called us to be as his children. And so, you know, I think a lot of times on our own, we can feel like the tragedies just overwhelm us or we're powerless. But the reality is, you know, God's people empowered by God's Spirit is, you know, we're called to make a difference in this world. We're called to fight against injustice. We're called to proclaim that, you know, death is not the final thing. Injustice is wrong. You know, that there is a real and living hope in Jesus. Jesus, it really is a reflection of God's love. And God really is, you know, he's committed to setting things right. And so, you know, for me, you know, we may not have all the answers in this world about why specific things happen and why evil happens, but it's a reminder to us that that we need God, and part of the reason why God is in our lives and God is here is to fight against those things.
Great, thanks. Hey, let's give Pastor Tilden, Pastor Eric a hand. Go ahead. Thank you. Pastor Eric, he had to run back downstairs and do some stuff with the big church, but you know, it's actually really cool that that question was asked. You know, why does God allow bad things to happen if he's sovereign? And we're going to close in a little bit of a different way today. I have a guest who's going to come up and he's going to share his testimony, and he's going to share about a tragedy that actually happened in his life and how God used that to do an awesome thing. So I'm going to invite AJ to come on up. You guys give a hand to AJ. AJ plays, come on up. AJ, why don't you, AJ, just introduce yourself, give a little background, and then go ahead and share.
Well, what's up, guys? My name's AJ. I'm actually playing baseball at Stanford University. I'm a pitcher. Last year I was a closer, so if any Giants fans, Brian Wilson fans out there, yeah, there you go. This is my junior year at Stanford, and, he asked me to come and talk about God's will, and I figured this is a perfect time. When I was listening to the speech, I think the trickiest thing for me when I was in high school was that I couldn't see the future, and I couldn't tell what was going to happen. Like, you guys are in a great position in high school that God has nothing but just potential waiting for you. And I think I'm starting to figure that out in my life. And, the biggest prayer you could pray is just, God, transform my life, transform my priorities, and transform me. And, I think I'm starting to realize that God loves you. God loves each and every one of you. And he loves you so much that he has a will for you, and he has a plan to extract all of that potential waiting for you. And I'm starting to feel that, and my testimony sort of begins sort of with that, is that I made the prayer to say, God, transform my life. But the interesting thing about God is that he uses interesting ways to transform you. And one of the ways he is using me, using a trial in my life to transform me, is this summer I was actually playing baseball, go figure, and I was doing great. I had just come off a great season, and I felt so happy with the way I was pitching. And this sort of back in my mind, I was thinking, God, transform me. You're awesome. Just like keep transforming my heart. But when I got to this to the place where I was playing, I ended up tweaking my back, and it kept getting worse, And in the middle of this great, of my success, and I thought I was doing great, in the middle of that, it just kept getting worse. And finally, I went to a doctor, and go figure, it's a little disc in your back that just like an inch off, it'll mess you up. And so God used that to transform me. And at first, I was like, God, what? I was doing so great. Like, why did you take me out? And I just got home, and I was like, all right, well, my back's hurt. I get to live the life, I get to live the life of sitting down, watching TV, getting to eat whatever I want, just this, live the summer life. But at the same time, after a couple weeks, that started to feel so empty, so useless. And I just felt like one of the pastors was saying up here, how can I not waste my life? I felt like I was just wasting my life. And, I prayed about it, and God sort of just showed me, you have your priorities wrong. I tore you down. I didn't break your back, but, like, I put you down on the couch to show you what your priorities are. And your priorities are living for yourself, living to watch TV, living to watch, relax and entertain yourself. That's not what I call. That's not my will. And I think it's crazy that God can use a back injury like that to just completely transform your heart. And my message to you is that, God can transform you if you let him. God will walk you in his will if you let him. So that's the biggest prayer, is God, just transform me. And, it's been working for me. I still have my back injury, and it's still sidelined me, but I've come to realize my priorities are wrong, and I'm actually getting into reading books. I'm reading my Bible every day. Like, I'm just on fire. And I just encourage you guys to just think about that prayer, that the only way to get to God's will is to let him. And God loves you, and he has a great plan to extract all of your potential. I look around the room, and I just see a ton of potential in your eyes and in just your lives. Let God help you, and pray the prayer to just let God transform you. And so thank you for having me, and I hope your hearts have been opened, and I encourage you guys to just let God in. Let God transform you. So thank you.
All right. Give it up for AJ, you guys.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Just want to encourage you guys. Sometimes really bad things happen to you, and we think, oh, God, but I thought you had this direction for me. But God wants to use and will use all these horrible circumstances and still accomplish his will in your life. So I'm going to close this in prayer. I want to thank you guys for coming out here. It was great. You guys had some phenomenal questions. If you guys text in a question and you didn't see it up here, because I know we ran a little long and a little short on time, and you still have a question, I'm going to be up here, you guys. We're one of the leaders that are around. We all are here for you, and we'd all love to put our arm around you and help you kind of walk through this life and answer that question for you. So if there is a question you still have you didn't get an answer for, come on up. Come see me, my wife, Jesse, Maisha, Junior, John, any of these, Drea, any of these volunteers in here, and we'd be more than happy to help you guys out and try to point you in the right direction. So let's pray. And then I'll dismiss you guys. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you have a will for our lives, Lord, that you have a purpose, Lord, that we aren't an accident, Lord. We aren't some random chance in millions of year accident, Lord, but we are designed by a creator with a purpose who has a will for our lives, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you love us, Lord. I thank you that you are calling us, Lord, to do awesome things. And I pray for each young person in this room, Lord, that they would become just wildly aware of the reality of Jesus Christ and God and would desire to follow him, Lord, and just get their life in line with the will God has for them. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling in here with maybe decisions about where to go to school or decisions about where to live, Lord, or decisions about mom and dad or decisions about boyfriends and girlfriends, Lord, and they're seeking your will for these decisions. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak into their lives, Lord, that you'd surround them with people, Lord, that can give them godly counsel, Lord, that you would strengthen them to open up that word, Lord, and really see what your word has to say, Lord, and that you would just overflow your love on them, Lord, to let them know, Lord, that, Lord, just, and no matter what they do, Lord, that you will catch them, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this room, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this church, Lord. And I just pray for those this week, Lord, that are going through school and got all the school issues, Lord, that you would be with them, Lord. And we give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a great week.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.